Hello, sexy nerds of the Nerd Imperium. Welcome to this week's episode of the Currently Nerdy Podcast. We are your inner conclave of nerdom. My name is Diz, and I'm your pop culture and sports nerd. Ali?
I'm Ali, your classic nerd. V?
And I'm V, I'm a comic book nerd.
Guys are pretty upset.
What is that?
Because I was really invested in this fighter, John Jones, and he got popped for the roids again.
All right, I'm tuning out.
You're really invested. How are you invested in John Jones?
Because I like John Jones. I met him after a club once, and he was really nice to me. Well, I met him at the club, and we took a shot together at the club. And then afterwards, like, he was super nice. Like, we took a picture together, and, like, we were talking for, like, half an hour. And this is, like, right after he won the title, so he wasn't, like, super famous, but he was still, like, pretty popular. But he was, like, a really nice guy. And then he got caught with the dick pills. He took
Did he really?
Yeah, so he took some dick pills that his friend gave him, right? His friend told him it was Cialis, but it wasn't. It had, like, some estrogen blockers and stuff like that in there. So he got popped for that. And this was last year. And then he's been suspended for a year because of that. And then he went and fought again last month against Daniel D.C. Cormier.
Against who?
Daniel Cormier. Who was, he was the light heavyweight champ of the world while John Jones was suspended. And he beat him by third round TKO. And now he got popped after the fight. They're saying he had some steroids in his system. So being a two-time offender under USADA, you get a minimum or maximum four-year sentence with, like, a minimum of 2 years suspension. So he's going to be stripped of his belt, and he's going to be suspended for a couple years, which sucks because he's arguably the best fighter of all time, but keeps doing dumb shit.
This is UFC?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the belt goes back to Cormier.
Literally couldn't care
less. I don't know if the belt goes back to Cormier.
I read today the belt's going back to Cormier.
It does? Because the fight gets called a no contest?
Yeah.
And so he just gets the belt back?
Pretty much. I mean, as far as I know, that's how it works. Well, that's what I read when I was reading the article today about it. It said that Dan Cormier actually gets the belt.
Well, the thing is like Dana White said they haven't formally stripped him of the belt yet. So, like, he's still technically the champ,
I
guess.
So, I don't know. I mean, the UFC and all that, they kind of run things the way they want to, you know, like, you know, and waiting till Anderson's, waiting to, you know, pull Anderson's drug test after the Diaz fight.
True.
The Brock Lesnar thing, right? Like, I mean, they've kind of pulled things in the name of business before, so you really don't know, but.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. As a fan of the sport, it's just, like, stupid, because, like, you know, like, you want to see this guy fight other people, and he just keeps getting caught doing dumb shit. He got caught doing cocaine after his first fight with Daniel Cormier, so he got suspended for that, and he got stripped of his title.
What was he taking dick pills for?
I don't know. He decided to take dick pills, and he got popped for that shit. He also got a DUI, right? So he got, like, in trouble for that. Then he had a felony hit and run where he hit this pregnant lady, broke her arm, and then he just fled. And they found, like, marijuana in his car. And then he got into an argument with the police officer, like, a few months afterwards where he got arrested for a night and got put into jail. Like, this guy just keeps fucking up and fucking up and fucking up after, like, getting chance after chance after chance. Which, you know, it sucks. But,
you know, some of the greats end up, you know, Tyson was like that. I mean, Tyson's a rapist, but, you know. You know, like, some of the greats in the fighting world aren't exactly... I mean, Mayweather... You know, not doing particularly, you know, didn't do a lot of good stuff either.
Yeah, he beat his wife.
Yeah.
In front of his children.
So, you know, all sorts of fucked up shit happened with these people.
It's true. And Mayweather's fighting McGregor this weekend. Do you know, at least you've heard of this fight before, right?
Yeah.
Floyd Mayweather and McGregor?
Yeah.
Who?
I couldn't be bothered.
Who of your little birds told you were going to win this one?
My little bird, my bear.
Yeah. What's the insider scoop, bro?
It's fucked up. It's really fucked up.
Mayweather in six?
Mayweather isn't an MMA fighter, though.
No,
but they're fighting in boxing. They're a boxing ring. They're boxing.
Is that what they're doing?
Yeah.
They're
boxing with one another. I don't know. I'd like to see McGregor lose, personally.
You'd rather see the guy who doesn't beat his wife lose to the guy who beats his wife.
Mayweather beats his wife?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, he got arrested for it.
Jesus,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Isn't also the joke that he can't read?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Isn't that, like, the ongoing?
Yeah, so
he can't read.
There was a press conference, right? And like, Mayweather had this backpack, and McGregor goes, "Why do you have a school bag? You can't even fucking read." That was the best line of the damn, like, press conference.
I mean, you know, neither one of them I really care for myself, but, you know, when it comes to wife beater to guy who doesn't beat his wife.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of have to go for the guy who's not a wife beater.
Personally, I would like to see the entire sport abolished.
What, a boxing?
Yeah.
Or any combat sports.
Any type of combat sport. Yeah. UFC gave us Trump.
What?
Yeah.
There's actually not...
There's a pretty strong correlation between UFC fighters, the kind of troglodyte mentality and barbarism that we see in UFC, and the type of people that end up voting for Donald Trump.
I'm confused here.
Dude, there's a direct correlation there.
You know, I'm not surprised. I'm going to write my thesis on it. I'm actually not surprised by that.
I want to see the statistics.
Yeah, I mean, I would also go further to say that it's the rise of groups, hate groups, and white supremacists and whatnot can be directly related to people like Joe Rogan, Sam Harris, these people who have given them kind of unrestricted access as a platform. Joe Rogan himself is not, but Joe Rogan has regularly brought onto his platform people who are openly white supremacists who believes in race science and all sorts of and then just giving them free reign.
Well, that's Alex Jones on there. He had that Sargon of Akkad guy on there, which isn't a, I mean, he's not a eugenist, but I, you know, he's got his own fucked up views.
So, like, the reality is, like, the rise of this kind of meat-headed entertainment, we'll call it, meat-head entertainment, has really given a platform to Trumpism.
I will tell you personally, you know, I know a lot of fighters because I trained at Reign for a long time with Mark Munoz, and a lot of them are fucking stupid, and a lot of them are Trump supporters.
There is a very you know, there's a correlation between people in the military who support Trump. There's a correlation between people who do MMA and who support Trump. These aren't like accidental, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is a certain libertarian reality TV machismo macho culture that it breeds, right? Mm-hmm. And that's connected to things like Trumpism. Trumpism isn't just alt-right white supremacists, right? It's like, it's a big tent of conservatives on the right.
What are you doing
to your beard?
I don't know. I'm just playing with it. Is that wrong?
You're stroking it really creepily. I'm pulling it.
It's pretty long right now, so I'm pulling it from the sides and putting it towards the middle.
It's very weird.
You're going to put it in like a ponytail.
It's very bizarre.
I'm actually going to be in Vegas this weekend.
Oh, what the hell's wrong with you?
My cousin decided to get married this weekend, so I got to be in Vegas.
How much are the rooms?
I don't fucking know. We booked them a long time ago, but like, I just don't want to deal with these
boxing fans and shit. It's going to be packed. The rooms right now are $600 a night.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Well, we paid for them a long time ago before they announced the fight date, so.
You got lucky, dude.
Yeah. Which is kind of, I just don't want to drive. Driving into Vegas sounds horrible.
Especially this weekend. Yeah.
It's going to be bad.
You're going to be stuck in like a shit ton of traffic.
I know. So I'm not a big fan of that. I'm a little upset at my cousin for that.
Is he getting married like at a hotel there? Is she getting married on the Strip or?
I don't know. She lives in Vegas. So she whatever place though she's getting married.
You know that Vegas is bigger than
it's more
than the Strip.
I know. But like
and that people live there.
I know, but like
I don't know why they'd want to live there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The weather is shit.
It's a desert.
It is a desert. Mm. Have you ever seen Vegas from up high?
Yeah.
So they're in the middle of nothing.
It's the middle of nothing, right?
Yeah.
It's weird. Like, you see this, like, sea of nothingness, and then all of a sudden...
It's all this, like, gaudy, like, lights and shit. Lights. And, like, this
moment of life. And it's, you know, it makes sense because Vegas is the, you know, you have to... If you're going to build a city that's, you know, run by the mafia and shit,
I know.
You're going to go put it in the middle of
nothing. I know. You can leave the corpses out in the sand.
Yeah, dude.
Picked by the vultures.
That's really strange to me. Like, why Vegas of all places? How the fuck did, like, that happen?
It became the... They put all the sinful behaviors out in the middle of nowhere where everyone can kind of let steam off, in my opinion. I feel like that's what the point of Vegas was.
But you're the historian. Why did they start Vegas?
You know, I'm not an American historian.
You claim to be on Head On History.
I'm not.
Actually, no, you claim not to be an American historian. Yeah, you're like, I'm not an Americanist.
I don't know much about the history of Vegas. I know a little bit, like... I know of its mafia ties and organized crime. I know kind of about its golden era, but I couldn't tell you, I couldn't give you a deep podcast worth.
Yeah.
I mean, I can go and research it and come back and let you know. I have access to the sources.
It's where people go where they want to shoot guns in the middle of the desert and shit and, you know, go to brothels and stuff.
But is prostitution not legal in Vegas?
But isn't it like the cat houses and shit are like all along the border or something? Like there's like an area where it's like...
There's parts of Nevada, but it's not...
Well, to remember, a lot of prostitution as it happens in that area and in most of the United States, it's not consider it. They don't call it prostitution.
That's true. Right. Escorting.
It's escorting.
Yeah, but it's still not legal there. Solicitation or whatever.
Escort solicitation is, but the escorts are legal in Vegas.
That's I'm a little upset about being in Vegas this week. I don't want to be running into all these Bud Light swilling meatheads all the time.
Yeah, I haven't been to Vegas in ages.
I haven't actually. I haven't been since I turned 21, so it's been 10 years.
And I've been since 21. We did a road trip with my friends and I.
You did a
road trip? You have friends?
It was a weird moment.
The hell?
And we arrived in Vegas, and I was there for like only a few days. I spent most of the days in the air conditioning.
Hold on.
And then go from
V. Who are his other friends besides you and I?
They're not his friends. I mean, they're kind of forced to be around him. He kind of owns, you know. Up. Yeah. Here's the thing. Okay.
I happen to be more popular than both of you combined. I just don't flaunt it.
It's as I understand true. How it Very works, true. Is that he crafted 9 rings.
Okay.
And he gave them these 9 rings.
Okay.
Now. These 9 rings.
I'm hoping you understand this.
I understand it. Do you have the one ring that rules them all? Because
you were looking at him blankly.
And I was looking at it. I wanted to
revoke your nerd card.
I wanted to see how far you continue the story.
Yeah, no, there was a good solid 10, 11 of us. There was a lot of us.
You went in a van with the
battalion. Exactly. There's 10 of those. 9 people and him.
Yeah.
9 rings.
You were right.
I had my own room, I'll tell you that much. I refuse. We had a nice big ass.
Was it a large tower?
It was with an eye on it.
I see you, Sauron.
Flaming eye.
I see you.
Flaming eye.
I was in LA this weekend.
I saw a couple shows.
That's and all like, I've been. I think I feel like I've been surrounded by D-bags all week.
LA's another area.
LA is rough. I was trying this new sandwich place, or not a new place, but it's like this been there for over 100 years,
uh-huh.
called Felipe the Original, right?
Seen that.
Considered to be the originator of the French dip sandwich.
I seen it on your Instagram. At the Sandwich Slayer.
And there was, yes, you can find my article or my blog post on it soon at thesandwichslayer.com. Mm-hmm. There was a homeless gentleman asking for money. I gave him a buck. You know, I walked in. And then there was another guy outside who was like, he's one of these guys who liked to talk a lot to people right here. He was kind of screaming around, talking to random people in the restaurant. And I saw him walk away, and I was leaving to go to my car. And the homeless guy's like, hey, can you help me out a little bit? And he's all like, oh, nah, man, but you know, once you get enough money, you should go in there. Those sandwiches are really good. And I was like, what the fuck was that? I was like, God, that was such a dick thing to say.
So he tells the guy, I can't help you, but I could give you a tip.
But it's like, if you want to go, once you get enough money, because he actually said, once you get enough money, because I know you make money, you can go in there and the sandwiches are really good. You got to go and buy one. I wanted to punch this guy.
What the hell, like, man? A
dick thing to say.
Wow.
Not even gonna give him any money, and then you're gonna
just gonna tell him go and eat a sandwich and
rub it in his face.
Seriously, like these are the people that are coming out of the woodwork these days.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It could be worse. You could be in San Francisco. San Francisco has a huge influx of douchebags. There's all the tech boom and shit, all that new money douchebaggingness, and their rent's super high. Gentrifying people.
Yeah, the rent is super high in San Francisco.
Base stupid, but or you could be in Phoenix.
Oh, I want to know how the hell we ended up. Talking about Vegas fights, like what is this? Like, are we doing a city tour? Like, what?
No. Well, here's what happened: is I was talking about John Jones, and then I brought up McGregor Mayweather because that's this Saturday.
You gave two shits about that.
And we know you said it already.
Yeah, you said that. Already. That was the first thing you said.
Just I wanted to clarify for anyone who may have misunderstood my ambiguous remarks. Unlike Donald Trump, I would like to be very clear of my distaste. For people.
and then V said he's going to Vegas
for his
cousin's wedding. And then I asked where it was, and you said there's more to Vegas than the strip. And then we heard about your 9 friends that you gave rings to.
You do know I don't have Alzheimer's.
Well, I mean,
like, you don't need to. I'm trying to understand the connection.
This is the connection.
You didn't say read back the minutes. Yeah, you're not a secretary.
I don't know what was going
on. I'm going linear here.
For a moment, I looked like, does he think I have Alzheimer's? Is that dementia set in? Literally, you know, we could just rewind and play.
I don't have time for that shit.
And honestly, if he was to ask for a recap, I don't think you'd be the one he'd ask.
No.
Well, I gave you a very thorough recap.
Not at all. I'll be honest. I mean, I love you, Diz, but no.
Now, we've heard story time with Diz before.
I gave you a thorough recap here, all right? It's not my fault.
So
you asked for what happened.
Continuing on our city tour, apparently. Yeah, Phoenix, Arizona.
We're going to Arizona.
We're going to
another fucked up city.
Yeah.
Do we have any listeners in Phoenix, Arizona?
Maybe.
If we do, my condolences. I don't know why you live in that hellhole.
Side used to live around Arizona.
It's a really hot area.
Yeah.
I know. I
it's
did
like 100 and something degrees.
I did Phoenix Comic Con a couple weeks or a couple months ago. And shit. It was 109 degrees.
Why does anyone want to live out there?
It's cheap. I don't understand it. They can shoot things.
Couldn't pay me to live there.
There was a great story that I read the other day where a guy tried to shoot an armadillo, and the bullet ricocheted off the armadillo shell and shot the guy and hit the guy in the face.
We were gonna do a karmic justice.
Yeah, no, because I remember talking about the snake or something, or like this gorilla that like got back and that
whatever
wasn't
happened to that. You need to look up that shit. I want to hear karmic justice.
From animals only, though?
Animals. Things that'll just make me happy.
Are we going to do a justice porn part of the...
There has to be. We're not going to call it justice porn.
That's the Reddit.
I'm going to tell you that right
now. That's the Reddit title for it.
Am I the only one who thought of, like, karmic Wonder justice. Woman doing it with Batman when he said justice porn?
Yes. Oh. Yes, you're the only one who thought it.
What is wrong with you?
I mean, or maybe our listeners...
They do have a thing for a while. Whether it's been nixed in the... New 52.
Yeah, they don't even, yeah.
Justice League porn.
So anyways, Phoenix, Arizona.
Wait, I want to hear more about this armadillo guy.
He got shot in the face.
The dude tried to shoot the armadillo. The armadillo went, rolled into a bowl, became like a, you know, he literally like...
Turned into a cannonball.
He used Harden.
He went, hut! You know, he turned into a shield.
So he used Harden and then ricocheted.
He went into defensive stance for all you WoW nerds out there. And it ricocheted and it like shot the guy, the bullet hit the guy in the face.
And he survived, you said, because he had to get reconstructed.
We're going to call this episode Dementia Sets In.
I don't know, like,
it's what we're going to call it.
This was in Arizona?
I think so.
For the love of God,
it is. I am intrigued.
Someone get him out.
That motherfucking Pokemon used one of its moves.
I know, and seriously. It worked. I got another story about an octopus. I'll tell you next week.
Yeah, next week, octopuses. Octopi? Yeah. Octopuses, octopi?
That's octopi.
Octopi.
Yes.
The real thing is how true is this story? Armadillos have strong armor, but not bulletproof.
I think it was one of those things where the guy probably didn't shoot it properly, so like ricocheted and like nicked it in its own weird way, and it got him on a weird angle.
So, Arizona.
Also, that armadillo, I heard, you know, he has an underground Kevlar.
Phoenix, Arizona.
That's the coolest armadillo in the history of armadillos.
Love of God. In politics,
carry on
today. For those of you that follow politics. Or a political nerd.
Everyone's Donald like Trump. Armadillo, right?
By this time, you would have heard of Donald Trump's speech in Phoenix, Arizona.
He gave another
This comes after his Afghanistan speech, which he had earlier this week on Monday.
People liked it.
People are idiots.
I know, but people liked
it. So, he in his first speech, he said he was going to recommit more troops to Afghanistan. Didn't say how many, but he also said he was not going to do things like nation building, and we're going to kill terrorists.
Oh, that's cool.
Now, for those who understand anything about terrorism at all, that's probably one of the stupidest things you can do.
Mm. Yep.
Terrorism flourishes in points of conflict, and the reality is that, especially in a country like Afghanistan, which is very difficult to govern, not just because the people are difficult to govern, but it's literally geographically... it's formed in a way that it's hard to govern.
Our grandfather did a good job governing the people of Afghanistan.
It's not easy. It's not easy to do. It's mountainous. It's got the terrain changes randomly. It makes it hard for people to project power from Kabul. And so in a country like that, the Taliban can literally wait you out.
It's true.
People forget that we've been out this battle now, at this war, for 17 years. Before that, the longest war was the Russian invasion, which lasted almost 10 years.
Wait, what war?
The Russian invasion, Soviet-Afghan war.
Oh, okay. You're talking about the U.S., but this is the longest war in
the U.S. This is the longest war. But before this longest war, another long period of conflict existed as well. And what happened in that? The Mujahideen basically waited out the Soviets.
Yeah.
So the fighters there, which were the warlords, and they eventually, many of them became Taliban and Al-Qaeda, etc., their tactic is, and this is a Kissinger quote, not to quote him very often because I hate the guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Henry Kissinger says in a traditional war, I'm paraphrasing, in a traditional war, you have to win. In a guerrilla war, you just have to not lose.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's what the Taliban, that's why Al-Qaeda, it's what the Mujahideen did. They just have to avoid losing.
Yeah.
Keep fighting, strike here or there, and you win. You bleed out the bigger army, right? Because it costs money to maintain that conflict. And so Somehow, I know some Afghans on Facebook and whatnot were really excited about it. I think in some regards, they're trying to see the best in the situation. They're so desperate for any change because of how violent it has become over the years, mm-hmm. that they're willing to accept anything. So that this speech, they go, oh, well, at least it's something. He called out Pakistan. Right? I'm like, well, Obama's called out Pakistan before. I mean, a lot of people have called out Pakistan. The point is, are you actually going to do something about it? And it's not entirely Pakistan's fault. You have a corrupt government that isn't well-liked. Mm-hmm. You have a government. You have an insurgency that is often more liked on the ground than the government is. You're stuck between two hard places, hating the government and hating the insurgency. And then you have these foreign troops that nobody likes.
Sure.
Yeah. What do you do?
Some of the people that I've seen praising it on my Facebook, right, are friends of mine that I know whose families have stake in this war.
Yeah, of course. A lot of people
profiting off of this war.
Look, the reality is that there's a lot of interest in this war. The Afghan government loves this speech. The Afghan government wants this speech because the Afghan government needs American troops to stay a little bit longer. More importantly, it needs U.S. dollars mm-hmm. to prop it up. Without American dollars, the Afghan government collapses entirely.
Yeah.
So it needs to make sure that Afghanistan remains on the radar. So the Afghan government has been very keen on keeping the Trump administration happy and keeping them focused on Afghanistan. A lot of the individuals I've seen that are really happy about this are also invested in it. Their families have gone back as translators. Their families are selling land. There's all sorts of financial interests that are involved. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, same.
But these are interests. Those interests, you know, shape your worldview. And others are people who voted for Trump. So, of course, they're going to love what this... Or they're looking for any justification to say, oh, well, at least he's better than Obama. No, he's not, foreign policy-wise. He's doing the exact same thing that the two previous presidents have done. It's a mistake. This is the mistake. And we're going to look back at this, not just as a sort of another Vietnam War, but we're going to have to explain 20 years from now to our grandkids and our kids why we're still in the battle.
Yeah.
Why we're still in the war. Think about it. You're going to be 50, mm-hmm. and you're still going to be explaining to your kids and your grandkids why we're still in Afghanistan.
Well, back in my day.
There is no end in sight. It's a perpetual state of conflict. And, of course, the system needs a perpetual state of conflict because it makes money.
Yep.
It makes lots and lots of money.
Military-industrial system.
It just so happens that Betsy DeVos, the education secretary's brother, is Eric Prince, the guy who runs Blackwater. Who's very interested in privatizing the Afghan war in the same way that they did Iraq.
You don't say.
You don't say. Special interests?
What?
No.
Who would have guessed it?
Our government.
So there's that like speech. That was a stupid one. And then he decided.
that one was stupid.
He decided that he was going to have another. First of all, it's weird when you have a sitting president who isn't even finished a year. And he's back on the campaign trail. Like, that's weird. Like, motherfucker, get something done before you go back on the campaign.
Well, apparently he's been doing a lot.
He loves campaigning.
It's been 7 months.
He loves campaigning.
Literally.
So he went to Phoenix, Arizona. And after stoking the racial tensions with this Charlottesville speech of many sides, both sides, there were some good people there.
Didn't he talk shit about Boston, too?
Chicago.
No,
he didn't talk shit about Boston. He's like, oh, people protested, that's a good thing. He talks shit about Chicago all the time. It's just because it's a black city, right? So it's like the worst city in America.
The Obamas are from there.
Yeah, he hates Chicago. So Chicago, everyone's dying in Chicago.
Right? Chirac, baby.
It's you know, the fear of the inner city blacks is an old, old Republican fear, right? Mm-hmm. So he went to Arizona and he gave this really ego-tripping speech. And his cult naturally, you know, showered him with adulation and love. It is. It's a cult, right? He needs an ego boost after everyone panned him for his Charlottesville speech and his numbers hit rock bottom.
Yeah. Well, I feel 30. Like he actually went back and basically what I meant exactly what I said because he was steering into the skid, in my opinion, yeah. right? So it's like him changing his opinion or him changing the tone a couple days later after the original Charlottesville speech didn't get received particularly well, so we needed the praise again, so we went back to what he was
and of course him going to Phoenix is just his way of giving himself some juice.
Yeah.
Right. It's his dick pill campaigning.
Ah,
his dick pill.
He took the John Jones dick pill
at Phoenix, Arizona. And then really the only thing that came out of this is, you know, an ego trip and a toxic hate rally. But then he had some weird things to say, like He of course naturally blasted the media again.
Of course.
Fake news.
Talked shit about Jeff Flake and McCain without naming them. Then also mentioned, you better not fucking spill that.
Calm down.
I'm watching you.
Over here yelling at me.
Yeah.
You juice.
Yeah.
With your own dick juice.
He's just dick juicing it up on the podcast.
I'm just refilling my juices.
Yeah, well, you better not fucking spill. If I see a drop of oil anywhere,
well, you're see, gonna die. No one would have noticed that I was doing this until you had to say something.
Yeah, well, you're in my house.
God damn it.
Watching you, you nasty fuck.
I'm in the studio.
Nasty fuck.
He also stared at an eclipse.
Yeah. Stared at the eclipse.
Stared at the eclipse.
Did you see my Facebook post about that? Yeah. In the future, people will ask historians how to explain the Trump presidency. Like, every textbook should have that photo.
Yeah.
Because it, like, don't write anything. You don't need a chapter. Just put that photo in for the Trump presidency and it explains everything perfectly. He was told not to do it.
Yeah.
Experts warned him, don't stare at it. Regardless, he ignored it all, did his own thing, and permanent damage.
So the question is, if he did get permanent damage to his eyes, how would he blame the Obama administration for that?
Like the blacks.
They covered the sun. The black
color. There was a meme that's like the only eclipse I'm interested in that showed Obama slowly covering up Trump. It's got like some odd racial implications.
No, they had another one. They had another one that
was
liked
still
more.
Kind of funny.
It was Bernie Sanders covering him.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
See, no, I like the Obama one. That was kind of funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he blinded himself and then he had this Phoenix rally. The one thing, the takeaway from the Phoenix rally I think we should mention is that he did hint that he's going to pardon Joe Arpaio. So he'd been hinting at this for a while, and a lot of the news media have been speculating about it. Joe Arpaio is a super racist sheriff in Arizona who's known for harassing immigrants, particularly black people and Mexican Americans, demanding things like papers. He's been federally barred. Judge said, you're not allowed to fucking do that. He still did it. He
would ask black people for papers?
No. But he harassed. He targeted them for searches and stuff like that. He also was quite famously the one who's claimed he had proof that Obama was not an American citizen. He had found his real birth certificate. So he's like America's racist sheriff.
Uh-huh. Besides that one black sheriff, Clark.
Sheriff Clark.
Yeah.
And so he's recently been found guilty and sentencing is going to happen September or October. And there's been talk about Trump
Pardoning him.
And he hinted at it. He's like, I'm not gonna do anything tonight, but Joe Arpaio, I think he'll be okay.
Joe. There was some hero armadillo out there.
That would have been.
That could defend.
This armadillo starting to piss me off.
Poetic justice.
But anyways, Joe Arpaio, you know, he's caught profiling Latin Americans. He caught bad conditions in his jail. May very well get pardoned by our what do you call him? The Mango Mussolini.
Orange Tyrant.
Or Tangerine Tyrant.
Tangerine Tyrant.
I like Mango Mussolini.
That's a good one. I'm allergic to mangoes, so I don't like
Tangerine
that.
Tangerine Tyrant is what I called him. Mango Mussolini is what you called him.
Oh, yeah, I did call him that.
You called him the Mango Mussolini. I called him the Tangerine Tyrant.
Well, I mean, technically, Tangerine Tyrant is more accurate.
Yeah. He's not really Mussolini.
That's true.
Nothing Italian about him. In fact, I think he's German.
Drumpf.
He's very proud of that.
From the Netherlands, I think.
He's very proud of his Germanic background. He always talks about it. He's like, oh, horse breed. We're good bred.
Oh, yes, of course.
He believes in the horse race theory.
The horse race theory?
It's legit.
It's
a type of racism, but it's genetic racism. So it's like, you don't talk about race, you talk about good genes.
Yeah.
It's a kind of old eugenics that's been emerging now. There's a fantastic article that talks about, is genetics the new racism, that talks about this kind of new language that you find in science of genetic racism.
Yeah, I've heard this stuff.
Yeah,
he's very big on that.
What they talk about, being from good stock.
Yeah, he's good stock. He always says, if you listen to him, he's like, they've got good genes, I've got good genes.
Yeah.
It's no different from the, what is it like, when white supremacists talk about how it's like, we're not racist, but we think that whites with whites is going to be better. Just like blacks with blacks is going to be make the race stronger, right? Oh. That's the language they're using.
And they bring up like IQ levels and shit.
Listen, white supremacists, y'all in the future,
because you're all obviously listening to us.
I'm just white supremacists who are tuning in. We're probably going to get a whole shit ton of white supremacist hate on our Head On History YouTube chat video that we put up.
Oh.
Yeah, because it's the audio. We put it up on YouTube. That's going to cut.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
YouTube is just it's like the haven for these fuckers, right?
That's true.
If you're listening to the sound of my voice, first, you're welcome. Second of all, you are all going to have gorgeous, gorgeous brown grandchildren. That's what? Just the reality of it. Your little grandkids are going to be brown and mocha and cappuccino, and there's nothing you can do about it. Nothing your racist little heart can do about it. Your grandkids are going to be all sorts of lovely colors, and it's going to break your heart. And I'm very happy about that.
Yeah, because you want to force interracial marriages.
I'm a big believer in making everyone brown.
Make everyone brown again.
Make everyone brown again. Yeah. That is my goal, if I was in charge.
Okay.
Listen, you need to stop talking so negatively, because you're going to get... Christopher Cantwell is going to start crying again if you start talking about brown children.
Okay. The racist... The crying racist has become a meme.
Yeah.
In 2017.
But you know, like, I realize, like, for all they're talking about snowflake and shit,
they are,
I mean,
really
delicate. Like to cry a lot.
They are delicate.
And they're so full of shit, too, which is hilarious to me. So... Ali and I went to a protest.
We did. You can see pictures of it on our
Twitter. Oh, yeah. I saw you were Facebook Live-ing.
Or you can check it out on our Instagram.
Yeah.
My Instagram of the history one went like, I got like 200 likes on that thing.
I get that on an average photo, but yeah, good job.
Hey, I only have half the followers. I think I have a third of the followers.
It's probably true. But
I outnumber you on Twitter.
Do you?
Massively.
How many Twitter followers? We'll look at this later.
1,000 something.
We're close. We're close on Twitter. But anyways. We went to this rally, right?
Fucking dick measuring contest over here. You see that?
You're the one who said it. Anyways,
based on little ticks. We talk about episodes about this shit all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't do it. It was you.
Small dick.
That's you. You're the one who started this shit.
Small dick.
He really just jumped into it.
Anyways, so we went there, and then I'm looking at Twitter, right? Because I was tweeting the pictures and stuff. Yeah. And these motherfuckers had the nerve.
Not these. One of the organizers, Irma Hermanosa.
Yeah, that woman.
Who's for Latinos for Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big... they're on Twitter.
She tweeted out how she had... There were hundreds of her supporters were out there.
There was like 20, 30 of you guys there.
There was literally 25 to 30.
There was a kindergarten classroom.
A picture of it. I actually tweeted it to her. I'm like, yeah, no.
Yeah, I did. I sent her the video and I said, you're fake news. I sent it a little Donald Trump gif of it saying, you're fake news. There was none of them. There was one jackass who tried to antagonize us. Do you remember that? Did you see that guy walk past us?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dude walked past us.
This is what fascism looks like.
No, yeah, so we're sitting there saying, no hate, no whatever, no KKK, no fascist USA. This guy walks by with his Trump flag, and he's like, this is what a Nazi looks like. This is what fascism looks like. Right? And he's just sitting there trying to antagonize everyone. Everyone just looked at him. And he just walked away. Like, I don't know what he was trying to do. I think he was trying to provoke someone to hit him and to start something, but
yeah,
it didn't work.
That seems to be the case a lot of times, right? Despite all them talking, Chris Cantwell being like, we wanted to be peaceful, right? Despite Chris Cantwell saying that shit, I mean, inciting that
type of... He openly, when he wasn't being focused on by the police, he was like, I want to be more violent.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because the Vice thing is all like, I'll kill these motherfuckers, right?
Yeah.
So crazy. And then now he's
none of our side died. One of their side died.
He's
good.
Cried.
More of them should die.
You know, we're the ACLU and we won, right? And he did that whole thing.
Yeah.
And then now he's, you know, he's just crying like a bitch. Yeah. I mean, that's not a right thing to say because it's a gendered term right there.
You sexist piece of shit.
Yeah.
But it was, Laguna Beach was quite fun.
Yeah.
This was only your second protest.
Yes.
On both times. Did I pop your protest cherry? I did.
Yeah.
I took him to the D.C. Protest. And the second, your very second protest.
Well, I asked you if you wanted to go to this one.
Listen, I asked you. Yeah, you better not get clingy.
I told you, but are you going? And you said, I'll go if you go. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going.
Okay.
That was how the conversation went.
That's me.
Because I texted you first.
No, I said, hey, there's an alt-right thing at Laguna Beach. And you said...
There's a really weird back and forth between you this.
Well, like we have to measure whose beard is longer.
What? What was it?
Yeah, like beard measuring between the two of you.
I win. My beard's longer. On Twitter?
No, right now. In the podcast.
I don't understand what's
because we're going back and forth and saying who's right and who's wrong.
No, I was right.
I'm right. I have receipts. I have the receipts.
But we went there. We were there for a couple hours. And the reality was that not only was there only 25 of the Trump Nazis, There was well over 1,000 counter protesters.
Wow.
Well over
1,000. There's 2,500.
And then obviously nothing no crazy. Right.
But I mean, we should know too that the police were out in force.
Yeah.
And they were protecting
them. Yeah.
They were protecting them.
Yeah. I mean, the way they were facing the counter protesters, not the.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The white supremacists.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
They were kept pushing us back.
Yeah.
Even though they needed no space.
Yeah.
They had a whole area cordoned off. And they kept pushing us back. I'm like, there's 25 of them. They don't need that much space. But they pushed the counter-protesters back. They got a little salty a couple times. There was a couple chants.
Get those animals off those horses.
You could see the salt.
Yeah.
Yeah. The most sodium Laguna Beach has seen in a
while. No justice, no peace, no racist police.
Oh.
And naturally, right after that, the horses pushed us back.
Of course.
And the cops. I should say cops and horses. Like, I'm not calling
them
horses. And then they started chanting, why are you wearing riot gear? There is no riot here.
Yeah, they did come out in riot gear.
Jeez. Yeah. Well, that's, despite the fact that the police were doing that, I mean, you know, there's all sorts of these things happen all the time, and nothing ever happens. No one ever reports the fact that, you know, that these protests or anything that are peaceful, that are quiet, happen also, right? So, you know, you hear, you know, everyone wants to talk about Antifa and all other shit about violence, when there's plenty of times where these protests are all very peaceful. They kind of go on without any, you know, without a whole lot of fanfare craziness. But no one decides that they really want to hear about those. They only want to hear about the things where crazy shit happens, right? And the media is to blame for that shit as well. You know, I mean, they're vultures. They jump on that type of controversy, right? And what sucks is that, you know, they, despite them yelling fake news in the liberal media, we all know that they're not liberal per se. They're self-serving, right? They'll go along with the thing that gets them the views and the clicks.
The ratings, yeah.
It's just like anything else. So it sucks because that Laguna Beach rally, number one, is I think it's great. Shows the number of people who are against white supremacy, right? But you're not going to hear about.
Well, you saw the same thing in Boston. Boston, there was 100 of them versus 20,000 counter protesters that were saying no to white supremacists. The reality is that the media isn't liberal. The individual media journalist may be, but in general, the media is market driven. It's about sensational. It's about selling you news. So whatever is the most sensational, the most hot take, they're going to use in order to sell the news. So like things like Laguna Beach aren't going to garner a lot of national support or national coverage, but it is still a kind of significant moment. One, because you saw how outnumbered they were, but two, you could see the people rallied. Now, there is a problem in counter-protesting. There is. While on one hand, you should counter-protest because many of the tactics that the right are now using is borrowed directly from the left. So the right isn't known for protesting. The right isn't known for marching. You know, the way they organize is generally about the last time they kind of started these tactics was during the Equal Rights Amendment you had with Phyllis Schlafly and what was her name? Anita Bryan or whatever her name is.
Didn't the KKK like march on DC?
They borrowed certain tactics, right? But it isn't until recently in the 2000s that you see the KKK alt-right and want to rebrand themselves. Basically, a lot of these people are college-educated. They're not, as we often talk about them as, like, you know, uneducated rednecks. Yeah. No, they rebranded themselves. These are alienated white college males who are your engineers, your doctors, your lawyers, your co-workers who work in the office building beside you, who now joined an organization because they want to protect their kind. Yeah. Very similar to the way Muslim radicals are radicalized for terrorism. Uh-huh. Same thing with these white males, right? And so this new rebranding has also involved not just bringing in a whole new class of white supremacists who then become police officers and engineers, etc. Let's point that out. But also rebranding in the tactics that they use. And the tactics involves the things that are traditionally leftist. Protesting, marching, wear signs, things like that, awareness raising. So because of that, the left should counter-protest. They should organize. But if counter-protesting becomes the primary means by which you are trying to effect change, then you're reactionary and you're never actually building a sustainable movement. You only show up when they show up.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Rather than showing up every day in order to put pressure on a politician or put pressure on the government, etc. So counter-protesting is important, but it's also, it can be really, it can be problematic. You can fall into the trap of doing just counter-protests, showing up to hundreds of counter-protests, but you never actually accomplish anything.
True.
Right? The symbolic victories, there needs to be more than just symbolic victories. Right? You need to be marching constantly. Right? So, like, people were really pissed about the Muslim ban. Rightly so. Horrible. Yeah. But where were they when ICE was deporting Mexican immigrants?
True.
Where were they, right?
Yeah.
Where were those marches when they were ripping families apart, when they were taking people out of their jobs and homes and putting them in detention facilities and then deporting them? They weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So there needs to be more than just kind of reactionary moments.
Yeah.
Because those are peak, and then they just, everything plateaus. So if the white supremacists don't march on a city in the next couple months, what's the left doing? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you need to go beyond that. I enjoyed Laguna Beach. It was fun. I've been to many protests in my day. Black Lives Matter, Donald Trump protests, lots of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anti-war protests back in the day. Totally down with it. But you have to also recognize that much of protesting is about venting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. But then you have to take that energy and direct it towards something.
That's true. I mean, it does you no good if you just walk around in the street for a while and don't actually take the active approach. I mean, like you said, like when it's as reactionary as that, you know, you have to, I mean, really, the real work gets done when the boring stuff comes out, right? When you're trying to pass legislation, when you're trying to vote, when you're doing all this, that's where the real work gets done. You know, it's all very romantic to Instagram the fact that you're sitting there with 1,000 strong, right? But if that person didn't go out to vote for a senator or didn't do these things, then it ultimately meant bullshit. It was all self-serving, right? And it feels like the same thing with like a lot of like quote-unquote celebrity activism, right? This idea that somehow you can look to these celebrities to really be truly resistance, when in actuality they're profiting off of a system that is...
they're not interested in dismantling those systems.
They're literally making money off the system, right? It just so happens that they may have these certain views, right? But at the end of the day, they're taking advantage of the system, and they're getting they're getting a lot out of it, right? So they don't actually have a lot invested in real change. Yeah. By the way, I was looking up Sports Illustrated. Apparently, they pulled an Asian announcer named Robert Lee from the Virginia game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and now all the people on the right are really upset.
Why'd they pull?
The ESPN pulled this Robert Lee guy from the Virginia game because they're all like, listen, with all the stuff that's going on right now, we just decided it'd be better to put him to a different game instead.
Hmm.
Even though he's an Asian guy named Robert Lee.
Hmm.
Yeah. And now people are going crazy on the internet. Yeah. So.
Speaking of pulling things out, we should mention that Donald Trump's brand is taking a heavy, heavy hit right now.
Yeah.
16 to 18... I forgot the numbers. I think 16 to 18 charities have just pulled out couple of days for Mar-a-Lago and various Trump properties, because a lot of times that's where he makes his money. These charities come and they hold these events, right? And also that's where he can double dip. Right?
Yeah.
That's what he does. And so now all of these charities after Charlottesville, they're pulling. So he's financially been taking
hit after hit. All those CEOs left.
Yeah, a lot of... Well, two of his... advisory committees collapsed, right? Yeah. The CEOs, another advisor, his economic advisory committee completely collapsed. All the CEOs left, and so as a result, before they can quit, he fired them type thing.
Yeah.
You're not quitting, I'm firing you.
Yeah.
So he did that. But now charities are pulling out, and that's starting to hurt his brand pretty badly.
And the Bannonites are also, like, they're beginning to turn. The Breitbart crowd's beginning to turn.
A little bit, but Bannon is still Team Trump.
Yeah.
He's going to go after members of the Trump administration.
Yeah, he's going after the Kushner, right?
And Kushner's, he wants to go after Cohn, he wants to go after these people.
So what happened was, this is interesting, so a guy...
that's because Bannon resigned/was fired.
This hacker guy on Twitter who called... He's like, I don't remember his handle, but he calls himself the Lazy Libertarian, or the Lazy Anarchist, or something like that. Like, he's a... He basically posed as Bannon and was emailing like the editorial heads of Breitbart.
Oh yeah, he was doxing them or whatever.
No, right? He wasn't doxing. He was emailing them, and they thought he was Bannon. And he ended up like asking for like really outrageous, like basically asking for really outrageous shit about like going to war with the White House and shit. And like I posted all those emails up on the Twitter, and like these people on there be like, yeah, they were acknowledging like going specifically after the Kushners and Ivanka and, you know, a lot of people in the cabinet too. And what's crazy is that when they kind of came up with that whole thing, Breitbart just kind of went, well, you know, we've been like that this whole time. Like, they literally admitted that, like, well, there's nothing new about it. Like, we go after people like that all the time. It's just what we do.
Yeah.
So, it's nuts to think about.
They've been doing that shit. Jimmy Kimmel did a fake one where they did it to Guillermo.
Oh,
like,
geez.
Yeah, they were, like, fucking with him, making him think that he won, like, free tequila or something.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
But it's nuts, man, because you know, like, it's all, the pieces are beginning to fall a little bit, right? But you realize, like, the people that, I mean, the guy who was the head of this same company who said they were going to go to war, that they were going to destroy people in that White House, was literally in the White House a couple days ago.
Yeah, but we got to remember, he's not going to war against Trump.
Yeah.
He's going to war for Trump.
Well, he says he's going to war for Trump, but these people are here, they're going to commit, they're trying to basically attack people within the Trump administration.
Right, but that's not new. There's nothing new about that at all. There's always been factions in the Trump camp. This has been the issue of why the administration has completely fallen apart, is that there has been multiple factions that have been competing. You have the Bannonites, you have the traditional conservative with the Pence and the Sean Spicers and the Priebuses, and then you had these kind of liberal, and along with those kind of traditional conservative, the neocon generals, right? And then you had these kind of New York liberals, right? Kushners and the Ivankas. Who had an influence. And all three of these factions competed. Mm-hmm. So Bannon, in no way, the idea of Breitbart going to war isn't a new one. It's now that I think it's going to be more overt in who it attacks, more comfortable. Because Bannon has been using, even while he's in the White House, he's been using Breitbart to attack his enemies. Going after Spicer, going after people like Rence Priebus, going after John McCain. This is something he's been doing. Now he's just
free reign.
Free to do it even more.
Yeah.
So the sad reality is that it should have been called out ages ago here that this man is in the White House still using his media apparatus to foment strife and fake news, basically. But now it's just going to be more transparent because he's back at the head of Breitbart. So this is the fucking mess. While that mess is going on, you have what's going on, the repercussions of Donald Trump. The idea that Donald Trump is Teflon has been proven false, without a doubt, right? It's like his numbers are at the lowest they've ever been. Low 30s. I mean, these are numbers that George Bush didn't even have in his second term, right?
Yeah.
You have low numbers, and then you have just people pulling out. And that's what hurts him the most, right? Is when advertisers, funders, charities, these people start to pull out, and he's no longer going to make money. And I think that's going to really put pressure on him, because if that continues to happen, he's eventually going to have to ask himself if he's willing to sacrifice his personal brand, and it's unlikely that he'll do that.
No.
So we'll see what happens with regards to Trump facing off, huh?
No, I mean, his day will come.
His day will come.
Yeah.
Should end the episode on some nerd news.
Yeah.
And that is Game of Thrones.
Yeah, man, you hated this week's episode, huh?
Yeah.
Big time.
Well, the thing is I watched it, like, way before you guys did, because it leaked, like, last week around...
Well, no, shame on you.
So, Spain played this episode instead of episode 6 or whatever.
Ooh, so they had...
So they broadcasted it at the actual time, but rather than playing episode 6, they played episode 7.
Is that how they got it out?
Yeah, well, I mean, the week before leaked also, but Spain fucked it up.
Yeah, so the episode the week before leaked, but it leaked, like, a day early, I think.
No.
This one leaked like a few days early.
It didn't actually leak technically. People just recorded it from Spain, I think. And
no, it was in English.
Yeah.
I don't know. There was no subtitles and stuff.
Who the hell knows?
Yeah, but like I saw it Wednesday is when I saw it, right? And like I saw it was a pretty crappy version. I saw it on like someone recording it from like a computer.
And like the old school movie bootlegger, the guy brings the camcorder into the movie theater.
Yeah, that's how I saw it. But I was like, fuck it. It wasn't that bad of a quality, so I watched it. And at first, when I first watched it, I was like, oh, this is dope. And then I watched it again.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wait a second. How did this happen? How did that happen? How did this happen? Like, I started getting more critical. And like, I'm starting to get more annoyed. Like, the action scenes with the dragons are amazing. Right? Or, spoiler alert, by the way, if you haven't seen it already, fuck off. But the action scenes with the dragons are dope. Like, they're shot beautifully. They look great. Like, when she brought the dragon to fight the Lannisters, it looked great. When she fucking Deus Ex'd dragoned the White Walkers today.
Okay, look. This is my issue, right? Is like, and you're seeing the scenes. Game of Thrones has always chosen spectacle over substance.
True.
Right? It has always done a couple deus ex machinas, right? Like, it's always been like that. But never to this degree. And I think because they're outside of George R. Martin's kind of purview, they're doing their own thing, it's become more obvious over the past few seasons, the past couple seasons. I mean, we know how far the wall is from the South.
It's very far.
It's very far.
Yeah.
It takes a month of travel, at least, right? Weeks of travel, at least, let's say by ship, right? But we are meant to believe that Gendry is able to make it back to the wall, send a raven to fly all the way down to the South, because apparently ravens fly at the speed of text messages in Westeros. All the way down to the South, only to get to Dany so that she can fly all the way back up to the North. Not just fly back, but then manage to find them. Might they're beyond the wall. They could be in any direction, anywhere.
Yeah.
Find them just in the nick of time to save everybody.
Everybody.
Now, just for a moment, suspending our disbelief that she manages to get all these messages.
Who's her cartographer?
I want to know. I just want to know one simple fact. How did she arrive exactly at the moment they needed? Before anyone died, let's just point that out, right? Yeah. Before any main character died. She manages, all the while, these fuckers are sitting there in the coldest place in the world, with winter arriving on a frozen fucking lake, and nobody dies.
Nope.
Well, you know, I mean, luckily they brought along those nameless wildlings to guy.
I know. So, the other thing that pisses me off is that we've been told, episode after episode, season after season, that Jon Snow is a great military commander with absolutely no evidence to back it up.
True.
Last season, this fucker decides that he's gonna fuck it all.
Leroy Jenkins,
the Battle of the Bastards, which he would have lost had it not been for Sansa and Littlefinger.
True.
They come in with the Knights of the Vale, dun-dun-dun-dun, at the exact moment. Let's point that out again.
Got him with that Battle of Helm's
Another deus ex, right? We'll set it aside. We'll go, okay. A little bit more believable, right? A little bit more. Then he goes, I got a plan. We're going to go beyond the wall and catch a white. And go, okay, that sounds stupid, but maybe he's got something up his sleeve. His only trick was to wander around until they came across a small contingent of whites, then managed to kill the White Walker, and they all die suddenly.
Except for one.
Oh, isn't that convenient? I mean, he's killed whites before. We didn't see the dead just fall.
Yeah.
Right? Heart home. What happened there?
Yeah.
Why didn't that whites...
Sam's,
why didn't,
Sam's
why,
killed whites.
Why didn't that White Walker's whites die? It didn't. Right? So he manages to do that, only to get trapped by the bigger army. And you kind of go, wait, why didn't you bring a raven with you? Why don't you have scouts that could tell you in advance how far the army is so that you can plan a little bit better? And is really the only plan you had to grab and run?
Yeah.
Wait. How is he a military commander?
And here's the thing, all right? So that was stupid. But then when Dany comes deus ex dragona, right?
Motherfucker decides to Leroy Jenkins again.
He's like, you know what? I'm going to kill some more of these guys so I can level up.
Just keep going.
I know, really.
Like, I'm just going to keep killing them until I level up.
He just kept going.
And you lost the dragon.
I know. They were like, come on. Her hand was literally out.
He's like, hold on, I got this.
But no, I'll kill every single one of these motherfuckers.
I gotta show again, you. He throws himself into the fray for no reason.
Yeah.
And then, luckily, he's saved by Uncle Benjen, who, for whatever reason, like, timing, they must have a different notion of time than we do.
With these cold hands.
So Cold Hands shows up. For the first time, we're told he is officially Cold Hands, for the record. Or we assume he's Cold Hands.
Cold Hands, yeah.
So he goes, get on the horse. Come with me, Uncle. There isn't time.
I know.
He has plenty of time to ride off into the distance while Cold Hands swings about. By the way, I love the little flaming.
No, that was whatever. Cool.
I thought it was cool, right?
Yeah.
Cool moment, but it's like.
Yeah. What is that, a flail?
You see that. The army, like, it takes them a while to get to Cold Hands / Benjen. Why didn't he just leave on the horse?
I know.
They had no time there. Just like Jon's got no time to bend the knee because they're about to arrive any second now.
Of course.
But he has time to mine Dragonglass, get on a ship, sail all the way back to Eastwatch by the Sea, go beyond the wall, capture a white, bring the white all the way back to King's Landing. So apparently he's got no time to bend the knee, but he's got time to do all that. He's been gone for the better part of a year, right? Even though Bran saw that these fuckers are right there by the wall. So you're left kind of going, they clearly have a different sense of time than we do.
Yeah.
They don't have time for, we go, wait, you got plenty of time. And other stuff where they should have no time whatsoever for, you don't got time to go beyond the wall,
motherfucker. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Nobody got time for that. Clearly they have plenty of time for that.
He didn't really, he went back up north and he just didn't bother to stop by Westeros.
And he decided not to tell his sister.
Tell what was going on.
What's
going
to happen.
Like, hey,
I am the least invested for the record in that story arc.
Yeah, no one really gets
it. Sansa and Arya couldn't give two shits.
It's a shame, too, because when the season started, I actually kind of enjoyed the Arya stuff. And it got progressively more boring.
That's what happens with Arya.
Yeah.
You're intrigued and then it starts to suck.
But then here's the thing. So we've already spoiled alert, right? The death of that dragon came out of nowhere.
Yep.
So what they decided to do was use the battle, the style and the shock of the battle and the shock of the death, to gloss over the massive holes in that narrative. I've said it time and time again, George R. Martin's, if you actually read George R. Martin's books, there's not a lot of fighting in them.
Yeah.
It's about intrigue.
It's all political.
But the best scenes of Game of Thrones as a TV series are moments when the characters are interacting with one another.
Mm-hmm.
This season,
Tormund,
Varys isn't in a lot, but Varys and Tyrion seen in a throne room.
Yeah,
loved it. This Varys reaching over and drinking, right? Like, loved it.
Yeah,
they shine. Tormund and the Hound talking together.
You're the one they call the dog.
Fucking great, right? Like, it just shines. Jon and Derek Dockderian, as you call him.
Yak. Beric Dockderian.
Derek Dockderic. Or Beric Dondarrion.
Beric Dockderic.
Their conversation about the purpose of life.
Yeah.
What a great moment, right? It's in those moments of drama where the actors can really shine that I see the best of Game of Thrones. What I hate is that shock and awe. Ooh, the dragon died. I'm like, it just doesn't make sense.
So it sells, bro. Where do they get the chains?
How'd
they tie the chains around the dragon?
They don't know how to swim.
Yeah. They ended up jumping on a lot of just like old hat tropes to kind of rely on. And I think that kind of shows where Weiss and Benioff took over and George R. R. Martin kind of let go in terms of like the writing and everything and what was going on. I think it's a bit of a shame because, you know, this very well could have been a very interesting subversive fantasy, like what a lot of people say George R. R. Martin's writing is. And they ended up kind of jumping on tropes that are very much just kind of Lord of the Rings-esque super team type shit, right? Like what we saw with this one, right? It's like, well, we got to assemble this motley crew of like unlikely allies that hate one another to do all this special stuff. And they literally took the Greek hero at Marathon thing with Gendry, right? So it was kind of like, I thought it was a little bit, it was old hat. And I thought it was a little bit ham-fisted with the way that they did things.
It was stupid.
Yeah. On that note, well, tell us what you think about Game of Thrones in that episode. And Diz will let you know how you can do that.
Yep. Facebook.com/currentlynerdy. That's our Facebook. Twitter, @currentlynerdy. Instagram, currentlynerdy. Tumblr, currentlynerdy.tumblr.com. We're on the YouTubes. Search currentlynerdy. We have a new head-on history video that we put up there for you guys about Charlottesville. Get a little bit more in-depth about Charlottesville on there. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. So check us out on those. And we have a contest going on. This is the last week of it, right? Next week we'll announce the winners.
We will be announcing the winners next week, so please get involved.
We'll let you know how to get into that contest. And if you want to get a hold of V, how can I get a hold of you?
All right, should we let them know how to get into the contest?
Well, yeah, you're going to let them know because it's your contest.
All right, well, what you got to do to win the San Diego Comic-Con Loot Crate exclusive of the Rick Sanchez statue is subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. Go ahead and take a picture of that, DM us, let us know to get an entry. If you've already done that, go ahead and go on to YouTube, comment on our latest video, give us a subscribe on there as well, and give us a nice little rating. Screenshot that, and we'll enter you in as well. Now, if you want to find me, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at vtran214, that's VYTRAN214. You can also find me on my website at thesandwichslayer.com. Elite?
You can catch me on my website at Ali Alomi. aaolomi.com. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at aaolomi. Check me out if you're interested in seeing the kind of daily life of a historian and all the fun stuff that we do. You can see it on my Instagram and social media. You can also find me on our sister podcast, Head on History. We released a special bonus Charlottesville episode last week. You can check that out. You could see it on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, or you can check it out on our YouTube channel, which we uploaded. Subscribe and comment so that you can enter into the contest. Diz, how about you?
Everywhere at Dizbulla, DizBullah.
For everyone here at Currently Nerdy, thank you for tuning in, and remember, stay smart, sexy nerds.
And we love you unless you turn dragons into frost dragons.